Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am pumped about this conversation.
Definitely. I'm excited.
Is it not?
Yes.
It's just, my goodness. We've been talking about this a long time. Since Even in the Wilderness, also joining us is John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
Do you remember in the wilderness with all the fathers and the sons and the fatherless and God just showing up? And
powerful.
I don't know if you know this or not. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and the world and the world. But on the Gulf Coast, you know, the glory zone, all the way from Destin to Mississippi, God's got good things in store for the nation and the Gulf Coast. But, you know, for years, almost 10 years, you can go to, actually, I think you have, I don't know if I can even see it over here, right here on the I'm not that coordinated. There it is. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on that banner, and you can see 10 years of a prophecy called the Malachi Mandate, where we took men and boys, fathers and sons, the fatherless in the wilderness. God is into being the father that he is to us and us understanding him as father, and his presence just enveloped us. It's this powerful thing. It's got videos on there too, I think, of some of the stuff. But with that, he wants his children to get along. He wants us all to get along. And so we're continuing this conversation because on Pearl Harbor Day, God said across the nation, just suddenly, at least we know of three episodes, suddenly, and it built up across the nation, that he said on Pearl Harbor Day, I want this conversation to be had. And you got to hear this whole, this is like a continual conversation. And I mean, the hand of God appeared in the universe over this conversation. And you can see it. Fox News reported it and all the details. You can find all that. But Pearl Harbor Day, December the 7th, a conversation began in the church that needed to happen, which means the body of Christ, not necessarily a building. But there was also this one that was hosted on the Gulf Coast at Jubilee International Ministry Center. So powerful. If you missed yesterday's program, you got it and watch it. You see it at VFNTV.com and share it, because we got to have this conversation. We got, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we got to begin to talk about this and find out what our Father wants. Because, you know, he wants us, he says, a new commandment that I give you, to love each other. By this, they will know that you're mine. Not because we teach some fancy sermons, or they're the best dressed, you know, or we have the biggest building, or we have the least building, that it's because we love each other. The enemy wars against the father relationship with the children, to break the concept of who he is as a father. The enemy does everything to divide anything and everything. And I've never seen so much division in my lifetime in America. I mean, I think the stamps are getting divided from the letters. I mean, everything's being divided right now. And, but God is also at the same time moving. I believe I'm feeling like, man, this thing, you know, it's pushing us to talk about what people refuse to talk about, which tried to talk about for quite some time. And I can understand why some didn't want to. I could understand why the people who didn't want to talk about it didn't want to talk about it on all sides, because it's painful for everyone. But, you know, part of hearing me is healing me. If we could just talk, I'm not saying that it's unfixable. I'm not saying I hate you. I'm not saying it's over. I'm saying, this elephant in the room, talk about this thing that's on my chest and on my family, on our community, we got to talk about that. And of all the things, according to, you know, George Barna and all the statistics, and as a matter of fact, I want you to see this video. It just tells it like it is. The most segregated moment in America is Sunday morning when the church gathers up. You see, my life, when, you know, but prior to being saved, I didn't have any, I mean, I just didn't cross my mind about looking at people differently. I mean, I had lots of issues, but that wasn't an issue. And so all my friends are, you know, different colors and white and pasty like me. Anyway, so, and I remember watching, Britain's Got Talent I saw it on the you know, internet. Yes. And I looked at all these people in the audience and I went, man, those are my people. Look at those white pasty people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I finally felt what it was like when somebody goes to their homeland and they could see. It was like, oh, And then, but I didn't want to go there. But anyway, so, but I was just like, man, they look like me. And there's something about that, that when you connect with people that look like you. Now, how do we all come together in the family of God? And so it wasn't till, get this is going to totally probably shock you, that I did not begin to live a segregated life until I became a Christian. Because no matter which church I attended, predominantly every one of those gatherings was one race. Mm. So if I had to go, I had to literally get in my car and drive to my other friend's place to be able to see them. As a matter of fact, we traveled around, didn't we, John?
Oh, yeah, we sure
speaking
did.
Of different places, like, hey, I won't be able to, aren't you Bobby Joe's sheep? Anyway, you did all those kind of things. And it's like, we had to go to a Promise Keepers meeting just to see all of our friends, right?
Yeah we did. Mm-hmm.
Because when you got back, you got to see this video. Watch this.
My cry and pitied every wrong and
I think it is one of the tragedies of our nation, one of the shameful tragedies, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours, in Christian America. It's one of the most segregated hours, if not the most segregated hours, in Christian America.
What a powerful, powerful moment, and just they explained it so well. And why is it that way? Because remember, God's called us to all the nations. He's called us to go into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to all the nations. Nations, it's not a nation, is not a geographical region. It's a people. And the word nation in the New Testament comes from the word ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnic group, which is where we get the word race. So you basically, what Jesus has commanded us to do is go tell all the races about me, that I love them, I got a plan for their life, that I'll forgive them, and that's exciting. But then we can look around us where we gather to fellowship with God, and we can look around and say, are we really telling all the races? And we think about that. Are we really telling all the races? Because there's only, you know, one race around me. Or there's only, and it could be like, well, I'm telling them, but I refuse to have diversity in how we express our worship.
Right.
And so,
exclusivity, or
all of a sudden, worship divides us. When worship should, I mean, how could divided worship please God?
Mm-hmm.
How about, you know, we begin to appreciate the diversity in worship? I mean, you know, me, I'm very eclectic when it comes to worship, but some people are just stuck, you know, with just, I don't know. I don't know what happened to Pat, but he's just stuck in how he just can't genre out of where he can.
I've got a few genres.
He's pretty gracious, though. He just kind of just, anyway, so
when the eyebrows start moving,
right.
Look out.
But, you know, so this panel that took place on the Gulf Coast at Jubilee International Ministry Center, Pastor Lynn Ballinger's church, and it was, you know, led by Pastor Aaron James, excellent panel.
Oh, yeah.
Had Pastor Dan Livingston, Pastor Greg Burns, had of course Pastor Lynn Ballinger,
Joshua Wallnoffer,
and Aaron James on it,
and Dan Livingston.
But you can see we have a link to be able to watch the entire broadcast from Jubilee, so you can see the whole thing. We're just having excerpts from it. You'll love every bit of it, and it's the seed bed for a whole beginning of a conversation. And I love the humility of the pastors on there.
Yeah,
and you got to get to know them if you're looking for a church. I mean, all their churches. I mean, it was their heart. You know, it just loves God. If you're a hunter, go to Pastor Dan Livingston. Yeah. The so, but with that, you know, Pastor Joshua,
yes,
that he delivered something so important, because how are we going to begin to honor? How are we going to begin to honor others when we dishonor even our leadership?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God says all authority is established by God, and he begins to explain. I mean, it's obviously smarter than us, so we're going to let him do it. This is Pastor John Walnoffer at the Jubilee International Church in
Joshua
Walnoffer, just really laying it down, giving us a viewpoint, you know, what it was like when Paul was writing these scriptures in regards to it, because so many people are focusing. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, let him explain.
Bottom line, we have to speak the truth, and we need to be very clear. First off, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Number one. Remember where our first kingdom is. I see a lot of Christians very excited every 4 years and out doing a lot of political work, and we need believers in the political field. But I see a lot more enthusiasm often for the political kingdoms than I do see for the only kingdom that will last forever.
Amen.
So that's a big issue, number one. Number two, we need to remember that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, is living under a authoritative, wicked regime. And he says in the epistles, I urge you, first of all, that prayers would be made for those in authority, for kings. Remember who the ruler of Paul's day was? It was Nero. Paul doesn't take any time to criticize Nero, but he does take time to pray for Nero. Now, regardless of your views of the last couple presidents we've had, none of them even hold a candle to Nero.
That's right.
In their worst days. Nero burnt his city, blames it on the Christians. Nero is a pedophile. He is openly homosexual in his relationships. He murders his own family members. He is responsible for much evil in his land. And yet Paul doesn't take time spending his life criticizing the administration. He says, first of all, we need to pray for our leaders. Secondly, I tell our congregation often, and I think this is important, we see unrest right now. A lot of unrest against law enforcement and an anti-law enforcement wave that is being ridden. And a lot of people are quick to point out, especially in right-wing circles, that this is wrong. But we often forget that there's a higher authority in the United States of America than the local law enforcement, and that's the President of the United States. And why would anyone agree with you to respect local law enforcement if you don't respect the man that God has placed in charge of our nation? Now, that's not politically correct in all corners, but that's the word of God.
Amen.
He says to honor, give honor to whom honor is due. You don't have to agree, but you need to honor him for his office. He's our president if you're a citizen of this country. Last thing, one of the things that grieves me every election cycle, especially the last two, is the phrase, let's take America back.
Come on, man.
Have you heard that before? That scares me often, because what do we want to take it back to 30 years ago, 100 years ago? How about let's put the kingdom that will last forever first and live those values instead of partisan bickering? Why don't we stand for the values that will last for eternity? Let's not take America back to the way it was 50 years ago. Let's take America to Jesus Christ, who will truly bring the change we need.
I mean, that's so important. Remember, we're not of this world.
Mm.
You know, we are part of a new kingdom,
yes,
of which Jesus Christ is the king. How many times are we trying to integrate the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of this world versus coming in and say, you know, let's just pray that God's kingdom would come right here.
Yes.
And I don't know, take over. Because if God's kingdom takes over, it says the people rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
That people, when darkness takes over, the people grind their teeth and they are, it's a terrible, you know, just are terrible. And it says, so when God's, you know, the economy's blessed, everything's blessed, you know, when God, and so it's like, man, Nero, that's right. Nero actually took Christians and put them in his garden, tied them to posts and burned them for light in his garden at night.
Mm.
And Paul was writing, pray for, you know, those in authority over you. That's where Romans 13, 1 through 5 was being written from prison. And I mean, think about this. And it's like, we've missed it if we're not honoring those in authority. We don't want to thank God for, you know, the Constitution, that we can express ourselves if we feel totally different in regard to the viewpoints of others, and including those that we elect to be able to be in office. But we can still honor the office. We can honor the man or the woman that's in that place. And so that's a very, very good point in the context of that. But we got to get past these wounds and this
absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, on the very same day that this conversation was being, you know, taking place in North Carolina, South Carolina, Rick Jordan was having the same conversation. He was talking about the healing of our land, but he's talked about two forms of wickedness that are so pervasive right now in the land. I want you to listen to Rick as he really just shares this and does an awesome job. Watch this.
Now, I want to talk about some things that are wicked that we may not even be aware of. I think one of the ultimate forms of wickedness in Scripture is racism. It's one of the ultimate evils is racism, because it's an ultimate form of pride, and it's an ultimate form of another one of the other evil strongholds, one of the most powerful evil strongholds yoking humanity, and that is fear. We become racist because we're proud in the flesh or proud in the externals, or we're afraid of people who are different from us. Both of these are ultimate evils. Now, I think one of the ultimate forms of racism is found in the church. It's called denominationalism. Think about it, spiritual bigotry, where we think we're better than others because we're part of a certain group or have certain truths, or we're afraid of those who are different from us. The result is the same, division. And this, you know, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, your prayers tonight would be on the most serious issues of your heart, wouldn't they? So I think one of the ultimate revelations of Jesus' heart is what he prayed that last night before he went to the cross in John 17. One of the main things he prayed for over and over was for the unity of his people.
That's so powerful, because we're not going to have unity unless we're willing to address these real issues, these real concerns. And what's so powerful, as Rick continues to share this, is, you know, we need to be able to start repenting for, you know, these sins, identifying with others, and also breaking the curse that's on the land.
Yeah, we did that. You know, there was I don't know how many murders there was just in the particular county that we were in.
It was like over 30.
Over 30 year. Murders in 1 year. And I'm talking to people about that. It's kind of the same kind of thing. Right. It's like, you know, that's just statistically, that's not. It's 30 murders.
30
bloodshed
murders
on the soil of our land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we, along with others in the region or the area, we went to every area where bloodshed was murder took place, and we repented for that, because you're breaking the curse off the land. And immediately they started catching the suspects. I remember one was called in New Orleans and different areas, and God began to bring justice. It's not that we'll ever be able to stop necessarily evil, but we can repent for the evil. As a matter of fact, I think that's exactly what about the healing of our land, right?
Yeah, because he goes in, he continues to talk about righteousness, how righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. And before we really get into this, I mean, because we want to let Rick share, we will have a special thing that we want to share with you on the Gulf Coast. All of our viewers, you know, it's Christmas time, and we have 12 days of Christmas. We want you to take a look at this, enjoy, and be blessed.
I make deliveries to Carson probably 2 or 3 times a week. When it first started off, he wouldn't even come out of the house. He would just look at the truck from inside the window there, his picture window. He loved just trucks in general. But for some reason, the UPS truck really captivated him. He's just intrigued by it.
Who is that guy?
Mr. Ernie and me.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see him all the time with his UPS uniform on. He was always looking really sharp, you know, with his hat and his boots and his, I mean, the whole outfit. Every single day, like I said, I can come here, you know, 3 times in a week, and I get the same reaction every single time, all that excitement, you know. So, and he's always ready, waiting.
Oh, I can't see. I see. Oh, it has a paddle in there.
Are you ready to do some deliveries? Carson's always wanted to be a UPS driver. And today, we're going to make his wish come true. I've been driving for over 25 years. You know, everything is different every single day. I mean, there's a lot of really neat people, but nobody, you know, stands out like Carson does. Yeah, he's really special.
I really like Mr. Ernie.
Jesus is the reason for the season. We got to get excited like
yes.
this young little boy was in his little UPS truck. We're going to go right into this clip from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries in Fort Mill, South Carolina. It happened the very same day the conversation began on the Gulf Coast. And remember, when sin is committed on the land has a curse on it, but we can repent for that sin. You first have to acknowledge it. We can repent for it, as we're talking about, and then God will heal us. This is what he said. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from, you know, our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. America's land has curses on it that we need to begin to break. And it'll happen through us acknowledging our sin and repenting for it. Imagine this future. As a matter of fact, listen now.
Now, righteousness and justice are the foundation of the Lord's throne. Righteousness is what is right in the sight of the Lord, not men. In fact, there are a lot of scriptures about how these are in very basic conflict. And how if we are seeking, Paul said if he was still seeking to please men, he would not be a bondservant of Christ. I believe the tendency to seek approval of men is one of the most basic things that will disqualify you from being a true servant of Christ. We have to throw off that fear of man. But justice, God really cares that people are treated fairly. He really cares about this. And all injustice ultimately is going to be confronted. The justice of God is called the judgments of God. We hear that word, the judgment of God. We always think of something bad. But there are judgments of God that are good. They're really good, so good, it says, when they come, even the trees of the forest are going to clap their hands. The whole creation's going to be worshiping because of his judgments. There's judgments that say, you're innocent. You're free. There are judgments that return your inheritance to you. It is a judgment of God. If the thief is caught, he has to repay seven times. That means you catch the devil, the thief, stealing from you, you can make him repay seven times. I like those judgments. The other really good ones, there's only a couple of judgments of God. There are many judgments of God in Scripture. Only one of them is condemnation, and only one of them is destruction. Many of the others are discipline, just discipline for those whom he loves. I believe one of the things we need to recognize, if God is judging our nation now, he has not given up on us. He still loves us. He loves us enough to discipline us, because it says if we're without discipline, we're not his. So we need to thank him for these judgments. Thank him for this discipline, but recognize it for what it is.
This is so important, because on our journey to being healed, we're going to need to be able to address these wounds. Wounds that never get taken care of and never addressed or never healed only provide an area to cause more infection and more serious problems.
Think about this. I mean, how careful are we with our own? When you break a toe or you hurt something, yeah. It's like, be careful, watch out.
Yeah.
We don't call that evil. We just call that the person being smart to make sure that we don't re-injure someone or make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying, with us. I mean, we're having this conversation with fear and trembling, understanding that, you know, what's right with God not necessarily means what's right with man.
That's right.
But we're also, God loves man, so we want to make sure. And so with fear and trembling, and we're, you know, if you're wounded, we care. We care. We believe that our God, you know, will heal your wound.
Absolutely.
That if you can get a vision for healing in the direction that the Lord is taking us.
Mm-hmm.
On this journey right here, but yeah,
it's so important. Watch what Rick shares about this, because it's so important. Watch this.
But this is illuminating issues that we're going to have to face, I believe, more and more in our country until the wounds are healed. Now, what are the wounds? And we've discussed this before, how, you know, Beelzebub, one of the names given to Satan, means Lord of the Flies. And how flies in prophetic revelation, like dreams and visions, flies often represent lies. And wherever there's a wound, flies swarm to wounds. And they bring infection so that the wounds cannot be healed. And that infection becomes poison, and it does damage to people. It does damage to the wounded person. And it does, and the wounded person wounds many other people because of their wounds. I believe some of the most diabolical doctrines in history have been formulated out of people's wounds. And, you know, one of the great examples of that, I think, is Martin Luther's terrible and diabolical teachings on the Jewish people that many consider to have been the foundation for what emerged in Germany in the 1940s under Nazi Germany, when they sought to wipe out the Jewish people. And many pointed back to the roots of that manifested itself in the 1940s, went back almost 500 years to the teachings of Martin Luther about the Jewish people, in which he called them pigs and other things. It was terrible because he got rejected by the rabbis. When he took the Reformation gospel to the rabbis, fully expecting them to embrace Jesus as their Messiah, they didn't. They didn't receive it. They rejected him and rejected his gospel. And then he turned on them in the most vicious, diabolical ways in some of his writings. Now, I believe Martin Luther was a great light in his times and certainly set off a reforming of the church that was so desperately needed. But that part of his teaching was evil because it emerged from a wound, his own rejection.
Wow, this is so, you know, that's the whole thing. We start looking at, you know, when I look at my journey and myself and where I've messed up, where I've sinned, I mean, you look at it, it's like, oh my goodness. And God wants us just to glance at it. He don't want us just kind of hover at it. We got to look long enough at it as sin so that we can carry it to the cross. But if we just avoid it,
and that's a lot of times is what we do. We've been hurt and wounded so bad that we lie to ourselves. We believe the lie that says, well, I'll just ignore it and it'll go away. But it doesn't go away. And it's, to me, it just encourages me and others, I'm sure, to say, you know what, I'm not going to walk around with this wound that keeps festering. I can believe God to heal me and use me to bring healing to others.
And it's so important, too, to understand that Jesus, the Great Commission, is we're supposed to go to all the races and tell them that God loves them and God has a plan for the life. And the fact is that if we have racial divides and we don't national divides, racial divides, the same statement, then, you know, we've got to begin to understand we have to get healed in that area. We have to repent if there's anything in our hearts so that we, as a matter of fact, Pastor Joshua Walnoffer talks about this. You know, we don't even have to travel across the world.
Hmm.
The nations are right here next door to us.
Jesus said in his message on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24 that this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, the reign of God, will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, all peoples, and then the end will come. And so we do have a promise of Christ that the good news will go to all peoples that are out there in the world. But what is our hope in America? Well, it's amazing that America is this melting pot of peoples. You don't have to go on a foreign mission trip to run into peoples of the world. The peoples of the world are right here in our military town of Pensacola. That's right. They're right in front of us. John Piper wrote a book entitled Bloodlines, and he made the statement in it, really profound statement. He said that new laws don't change old hearts. That's right. And a lot of us, our hope is simply in laws. Now, we should argue for justice and righteousness and be a people of this, but I would say to you today that we need to remember the statement, new laws will not change an old heart, but the gospel will change the nations. So our hope needs to be a people in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that his blood is sufficient and he is calling a people. His gospel is resounding in all tribes and tongues and peoples and nations, even in Pensacola. And the more we are a people that are firm, as I've already said in this panel, on the Holy Spirit, we have one Spirit that unifies us and one message, the gospel. As we are standing strong on the gospel, we will be a people that is unified. And we will have this beautiful diversity, but we'll all be equal and unified, representing the image of God at the foot of the cross. And this is our hope and our trust.
Amen.
And that's so powerful, because all the division and the unhealed wounds, and I'm not going to talk about it, what that really is warring against the plans of God to be able to tell everybody that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. And I'll do whatever. This is what Paul said. I'll become all things to all people so that I might win a few of them into the family of God. And when you think about Azusa Street, and we were talking about this in our earlier programs, it was William Seymour. One of the unique things about that move of God that shook the world in 1906 was that it was all nationalities. It was all races. It was male and female. It was just like the Word of God says, there's no difference.
Yeah.
But it was a prerequisite. He would not allow anything to be lifted over anything in the context of that. And without texting, without computers, you know, without email, without television, without all these different things, God touched the world. And if you saw earlier, on an earlier program, you had, you know, Apostle Isaiah, right, Kaderi, that from Nigeria, who said on our program that he credits what happened in William Seymour's obedience in Azusa Street as they sent out missionaries all around the world from that what environment? From a unified, multiracial piece of the body of Christ, loving on God. Yeah. God's Spirit dwells in this unity. I mean, look at Oral Roberts, what happened inside of his tents. Look what happened with so many.
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham is that you cannot stay divided and think that God is pleased with us. Father is not happy when his children aren't getting along. And it's our greatest witness. I'm sorry.
It's interesting what is emerging out of this dialogue, because we see two things that are actually being used to unify the body of Christ. One you just explained was the glory of God, but it also reminds me of what Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimension Center said about the crisis that we've seen coming.
Yes.
That's gonna. No one's gonna care. Like just like the military, they don't care. You know what color you are. If they just want to make sure that your bullets are flying in the right direction in the time of crisis and war. Right. And this is another opportunity for us to realize, hey, listen, we need each other. And the faster we get that revelation, the better off we're going to be, and that the church is going to be.
And you know, say, have you been trained on that weapon? They says, listen, cover me.
Right.
Start shooting. And I'm excited about that, you know, because that's what I believe too. And this is what I believe Hebrews chapter 12 says. He says, consider hardship as discipline. That the Father is bringing us into a place that he wants us to be. When we talk about crisis, consider crisis as a loving Father saying, now, I said enough of that. I want you to get along. I want you to lay down your differences. I want you to bring it to the cross, because I have a billion souls that I want to bring into my family. I want to populate heaven. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize this is things that the enemy has sowed to be able to bring division and divide mankind from God's destiny for us. And I'm so excited about this, because You know, I just see the Lord just bring it in. I've seen it. We've seen this. I mean, think about this. We get back from the break. We're gonna end today's program with a dream, a prophetic dream that God gave Pat, but also with Pastor Lynn Ballinger of Jubilee International Church. You know, what is it like? What would it be like if we listened to the Father? If we listened to the creator of the universe, the Father of us all, right? As, you know, Pastor Greg Burns was talking about, you know, we all going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, that what does he want to do? And if you have a religious viewpoint, you're thinking like, what's the big deal? We all love Jesus. And it's like, no, God wants to show up. He wants, and there's sin in the camp, right? And so he wants us to deal with the sin in the camp so that he could just come and dwell amongst us at regional levels, you know? And with that, what happens is the glory of God gets poured out. And if you don't know this or not, you're designed for the presence of God. I mean, that's one of the greatest attributes of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven, is the presence of God. And he said, pray that his kingdom would come here on earth. So, yeah, but we have to deal with the sin in the camp. And it's like, we can feel terrible about it and do nothing, or we can feel horrific about it, acknowledge it, confess it, and repent. He'll forgive us. And guess what? The glory, when we come together in a unified who we truly are, all the parts of us. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Pat, what did God show you about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what God showed me. This is the body of Christ I'm talking about. We were gathered at this building, and we were getting ready for a meeting. And in this meeting, there was just every aspect of the body. You had different races, you had different ages, genders, social difference. You know, everybody was dressed casually. There was some, you know, with the t-shirts, some wearing the sweatshirts and the hoodies and all that. It was just totally
and suits. Some every,
yeah, suits everything.
Multicultural, multi-generational.
Yeah. The whole gambit was there.
It's just like the body came together.
Mm. Yeah,
doesn't it?
It was beautiful.
Oof. What happens? So what happens when we come together? What did God say when we do that?
Well, that's exactly what.
What?
You know, we were there gathering and worshiping, and all of a sudden the power of God just drops. I mean, it was just so powerful. I could not even stand up. I mean,
wow.
I had to sit down. It was so strong.
Whoa. Okay, we're all gathered in one accord. Yep. All of us.
Unified.
Mm-hmm. All the both genders. You have all of our nations are there. All the ethnos is there. All of our races. Mm-hmm. Different ages, different socioeconomic backgrounds, the rich, middle class, poor, all of us are gathered together, and we're okay with that. We're all dressed in whatever garb we like to dress in. And what happens when we do that in the name of Jesus? What happened?
God shows up.
No! Are you serious?
Absolutely.
So what is it like when God shows up? What did he show you?
When he shows up, I mean, you're just, the presence of God is so strong, you're just, you know, it was just so, no, I didn't care about anything. Other than just basking in his glory, you know?
I mean, did it like feel like a, I don't know, good?
It felt wonderful.
Explain it. I mean, explain what.
I mean, I was so excited. I just yelled out in the middle of the room. I said, he's here. He's here. He's here.
Right.
You know, I want to make sure everybody paid attention. This is it.
And so now how does our bodies react in the glory and the presence of God?
You go completely limp, numb. You could not do anything. I mean, at some point,
is this a bad numb? Does it hurt?
No, it felt very, I didn't care.
Seems like I read this somewhere, how beautiful and pleasant it is when brothers come together in unity, the place of the commanded blessing, Psalm 133. It was like, yes, this is that.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there was people laid out over the floor. I mean, it was just... awesome.
And we've had experience of seeing this in the powerful moves of God, like even at the Brownsville Revival when God poured himself out in a powerful way. It's like, you know, we got to quit critiquing and start repenting and unifying.
Yes.
And when we get together, God is showing us, listen, God's going somewhere with this. We're just following him, but God's going somewhere with this. And if we'll hear him and we'll follow him, and there's grace for our mistakes and all that kind of stuff. But the big thing is that we got to begin to love each other and find ways to honor each other and to not see ourselves as better than anybody in the context of that. As a matter of fact, I think that Pastor Lynn Ballinger did an excellent job at this Pearl Harbor Day event. Mm. It wasn't called that. It was on Pearl Harbor Day. And it's the same day that Rick Joyner began to talk about as well from Morningstar Ministries in Fort Mill, South Carolina. But this was on the Gulf Coast at Jubilee Church. You got to hear. I think Pastor Lynn nailed it. Look, watch, listen.
You know, a very simple verse that almost every believer knows by heart is John 3:16. And it says this, "For God so loved the world." And I'm not even going to go past that. My question is this: do you love what God loves? This is my hope today. Do you love what God loves? You see, we're not supposed to love the spirit of the world, but we're supposed to love the people of the world. The problem is in the church, we have done just the opposite. And God has called us to love what he loves. And his heart and love and life is people. And I have one hope today, and that hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel still works. And the gospel has no barriers. And we haven't even really got into some of the immigration and some of those kind of things and the fears. And some of you here in the congregation, you've immigrated here from other nations. Or you're a part of that thing. And the fears that you walk in learning a new language and cultural transitions like that. But there is no barrier. I've set foot in over 50 nations of the world, and you know what I've seen? The gospel works just the same in every nation, in every culture, in every tribe, in every tongue. I've been with some of the wealthiest men in the world, and I've been with some of the very poorest people in the world. And the gospel works. If we love what God loves, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us something powerful. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. And that is our hope. If we can love what God loves in the way he loves. And that's my dream and my heart. And that's why all of us up here and many of you give our lives to the gospel.
Don't forget, you can see this in its entirety. We'll make a link available to you to watch this with Jubilee's yes. online presence. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.